The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for Very Important People, and their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down with one comic and we read it in depth, in detail, and we give you our thoughts. I am Steven Schleicher. Over there is Matthew Peterson, both of us from MajorSpoilers.com. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing this podcast with a friend. Thank you for using the Amazon link at MajorSpoilers.com. Every time you use that link at MajorSpoilers.com and buy something from Amazon, a little bit comes back our way and allows us to do shows like this week after week and month after month. And man, it's been over a year now, right?
Something like that, yeah.
I think we've got more than 52 episodes in
Holy
the can.
Moly. So we're going to have to
of,
do that.
Dueling Reviews. In fact, let me look. We've got, how far back does this go? Our first Dueling Review, well, not our first.
Well.
Our first Dueling Review was all the way back in, what does that say?
December of
November 15th of 2012. So, over 2 years now.
Oh.
And in that time, a lot has happened, right? True. In that time, we've seen Mark Wade leave Boom Studios and work on his Thrill Bent comic and now working exclusively over at Marvel and also at Thrill Bent, I guess.
So exclusively except for Thrill Bent.
Well, except for his own stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exclusively basically means not for DC.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. We found out that there's a brand new Star Wars movie on the way in 2017.
Yep.
Or actually 2016. And what else? 2016, 2015.
15, 16, something like that.
The Force Awakens. When does that movie come out? Oh, December 18th of 2015. Man, it's coming up faster than we thought. It's a good thing, then, that Marvel, which is owned by DC, or by Disney, not by DC.
That's an entirely different alternate universe.
Marvel, which is owned by Disney, also happens to own Lucasfilm. Lucasfilm makers of
Star Wars.
Why? How about some synergy, Matthew?
Synergy? It was a period of civil war. Rebel Comics companies striking from hidden bases, won victories against each other.
I'm not sure you could call Marvel the Rebel comic book company.
Oh. During the battle,
they're kind of the Empire.
Okay, fine. And that means, well, who's going to be Darth Vader?
I don't know.
Dan Slott
would probably be a good one, too.
Slott would love to be Vader because, of course, the evil Empire.
But
the Emperor Shadows.
I'm sure it'd be Quesada.
No, it's Stan. Stan secretly runs everything.
No, Stan
Quesada
would be the Empire. Quesada would be the right hand, which would be Vader. And then you've got Dan Slott doing Spider-Man. He's more like
Admiral Pietro.
Yeah. No, what's the guy that was in charge of the Death Star?
Tarkin.
Yeah, yeah. He'd be Grand Moff Tarkin. That's how I would play it. So
a fully armed and operational battle station.
Yes. So the Star Wars comics have been going on for a couple of months now. Darth Vader number 2 came out last week. This week sees the release of Princess Leia number 1, written by Mark Wade, art by Terry Dodson. And this story takes place immediately following the credits of episode 4, A New Hope. In fact, this takes place kind of right in the middle of the ceremony that they have, where Luke and Han get medals and Chewbacca just kind of stands there scratching himself.
It's known to fans as the ceremony of hosing the Wookiee.
Yeah, yeah.
No, wait, that's something.
And then afterwards, people are kind of treating Princess Leia a little bit weird.
Yes, they're acting very strange. Some of the people are kind of upset that she's not openly mourning the loss of Alderaan.
And her family, and, yeah.
Yeah, and some people are just treating her with kid gloves, waiting for her to melt down because of the destruction of Alderaan.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. What's the old dude with the beard? General Dodonna?
Yes.
Dodonna seems to be really reluctant to use her in any real capacity because he's afraid she's going to melt down because her planet was destroyed.
Well, and also there's the fact that the Empire has put a bounty on her head, and that's he knows true. That everyone is going to be looking for her and looking to turn her in. So there's
no
that.
No disintegration.
That bit. Yes, exactly. Now, you know, when Alderaan did blow up, you have to remember that not everyone, not all Alderaanians, what are they
Alderaanians.
Called? Alderaanians.
Yeah.
Were on the planet, right? I mean, Princess Leia was off planet. Sure, right. Certainly there were some trade merchants flying around, maybe some rich kids going off and buzzing other planets and coming down and flashing their lights and walking around going dee-doo, dee-doo, dee-doo before flying off. So you got that one, did you?
Yeah, I did. That was actually pretty cool.
So because no one wants to give her any duties, Leia right. decides to take it upon herself to go out and round up all the other people Alderaan. From Alderaan. Yes.
And she does so with the assistance of, awesomely, a female rebel pilot who was clearly edited out of the original cut.
Right.
Of episode 4.
Right.
Named Yvonne or Evan.
I said, what did I say? Yvonne is what I said.
Yvonne actually makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Yvonne apparently was actually mentored by Leia's mother.
Right.
What's her name? Organa.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call her Stella Organa.
I don't think so. But anyway.
Yeah, her father. Her father's
was
name
Bail.
Was Chaim Organa, and her mother was Estelle.
Okay.
Yeah. Or maybe I'm thinking of George Costanza.
Leia, put on a sweater. You're going to catch such a cold on Hoth.
They should call it cold. anyway, yes. And Leia and Yvonne set off on a secret mission.
Well, it's not so secret. They're going to round up all the
Alderaanians.
Alderaanians, yes.
I do love – there's one scene in this that cracks me up. When Dodonna wakes up and R2 is by his bedside,
yes.
And R2 plays him the little hologram,
mm-hmm.
And then he's like, damn you, droid, and he reaches out, and it turns out that the R2 is another
also
hologram.
A droid. Yeah, that's pretty clever.
I can hear it. You in my mind, I'm just sitting there. You can hear R2-D2 laughing that laugh. Because he's an evil man.
Admiral Akbar makes an appearance, and he's none too happy with the humans,
yeah.
Or humanoids.
All of you are like children. You're children.
Just because you're cursed with
Akbar is exactly like my Richard Dixon.
Just because you are cursed with human hands doesn't mean you have to be so clumsy.
Princess, my personal condolences on your loss.
Yeah.
My wife Patricia and my dog Checkers were very sad to hear of the loss of your people.
So they decide to go on their mission.
Yes.
And of course the general sends Luke and Biggs after them.
Yes.
And
I thought for a moment it was, isn't
oh,
it?
It is Wedge. Sorry. It is Wedge.
Yeah. Cause Biggs dies in the battle.
Yeah,
of the
that's
Death
right.
Star.
That is yeah. right.
Cause I had a friend who loved Wedge because Wedge never did anything, but he also never died.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So, through some clevering maneuvering, the two of them escape and are on their way to Naboo at the end of this issue.
Naboo. Now, here's my question for you.
All right.
Naboo is the home of Leia's biological mother.
It was the home of mom's dead.
Right. But does she know that?
No, because if she did, she would know that Luke was her brother from the very beginning.
Well, and that does, was, does well, she that, know that she's adopted?
No, because at the end of episode 3, when Smits decides
Jimmy Smits
and Yoda and Ben Kenobi
right.
all decide that, hey, it's in the best interest if you just adopt this kid and just raise her as your own. So nowhere
right.
is she ever known that she was adopted. And because she is the princess and
right.
the fact that if people knew she was adopted, they
right.
would probably not see her as the queen of Alderaan.
And if Vader knew she was his daughter, theoretically,
right.
although he can't be looking too hard.
Well, because he didn't know that there were twins. He knew that she was pregnant.
But they hid his son in his hometown using his real name. Vader cannot be looking too hard. But yes, I agree with you. I think that the Naboo, though, is important. I think that Naboo is going to teach her something that she didn't want to know in her quest to find out who the last Alderaanians are.
Well, maybe so, but I don't think that she's going to find out that Luke's her brother. Not in this, not for, you know, at least 34 more issues until they get past the Return of the Jedi moment.
Well, that doesn't happen, you know. Until...
But, you know, maybe this means that we'll get to see some Jar Jar Binks running around. He wasn't killed.
Well, and we don't know how long Jar Jar and Watto's people live.
Right.
This is 30 years after episode 3. We know that Watto was alive in episode 2.
And so was Jar Jar. Mm-hmm. Jar Jar was at the end of episode 3, and he was also, he was alive at the end of episode 3. Now,
maybe
we don't
we'll
know.
Get to see an elderly Jar Jar who's actually a really cool character. Wouldn't that be something?
Misa, Yusa musta come with me to Naboo if Yusa learn the ways of the Force. No?
You know what would be really great is if Mark Waid has him walk in and go, "Hello, I am Jar Jar." I heard that your people spoke a pigeon dialect. Well, we found it embarrassing and ridiculous.
We found it incredibly racist. So, yes.
I have learned we have amongst dropped that. My people. We have all learned to speak perfect galactic common with a British accent.
The writing was good in this, right?
Refer to our path. Yes. The writing was pretty stellar. I love the character bits. I love the fact that it takes place. The first scene of this is the last scene of Star Wars Episode 4.
Right.
That moment. And then this immediately picks up. And we had that jump, you know, in the movies, there's clearly time because Empire picks up several years later on the planet Colt.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've experienced this. And, you know, I think I've probably read 6 or 7 different things that take place immediately after the Battle of Yavin. But this one feels like something that no one has ever thought to establish and deal with is how do you, you know, she just saw her entire people, her planet, virtually everyone who shares her genetic line, as far as she knows, just got blowed up in front of her to within make a point.
Within the last couple of days, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like this is an old wound. This is brand new, fresh for her.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever read anything that really deals with the consequences and the grief of that. Now, my expanded universe stuff is a little bit.
Well, it's also gone.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean it didn't exist. That, you know, it happened. I read it. It was there. It may no longer be canonical, but neither is the Volume 4 Legion. I think that, though, this is something, and this is that Waid take on something that we've all seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And he's put an edge on it that I've never seen anybody else use, and I really appreciate that.
The Dodson art is good as always.
Yeah.
There are some times where, I don't know, faces look a little weird sometimes.
Yeah,
but on the whole,
feels like that first shot may not have as much ink.
Yeah.
as others.
The other thing that I notice about, I guess it just popped out in this art, especially when Akbar calls it out, talking about the human hands.
Yeah.
Look at everybody's hands in every page, and it's like they got mutant hands. It's like they got flipper fingers or something, because at least two of the fingers are welded together, are merged together in every panel.
Well, I think they're all wearing gloves.
Yes,
that's
but
what it
your glove wouldn't turn you into a three-fingered person. So it's just a little odd, but the art is really good.
That's interesting to me, though, is this doesn't feel like it's as inked as some of the previous work, and I know Rachel did ink this issue. Rachel Dodson.
Did she?
Yeah. She's in the credits.
Okay.
Pencil, Rachel inks.
Okay.
But it feels like she's either trying something different or they're working on a different style, because it feels like their line is a little bit more delicate.
And I don't know what their style is. I don't know what their method has been in the past, if they've worked on paper and true ink, or if they've transitioned to digital or always been on digital. I know that Scott Kurtz had a huge stylistic change several years ago with his art. And mainly it was because I forget whether it was one of the guys over at Penny Arcade. I forget which one showed him a new way to work with the Cintiq that he liked a little bit better, and it helped him refine his art and style, and led to this total new look that he has been using. Again, well, it's not a new look, but the change in style from a several years ago. So the same thing could be happening here, where the artist is learning a different way of using the tool, and they like that a lot better, and that is what that's what we're getting here, where we have much thinner lines than maybe what we've seen before.
And it does feel, you know, I would hesitate to use the word stiff with regard to their previous art, but this feels a little bit more flexible, and this feels a little bit more, I don't know, dynamic and motiony. And it may just be the change in their outline.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at like Luke's hair specifically and Yvonne's hair, doesn't have a hard outline. It's
no, it's
blonde,
So this would be all digital then, because you wouldn't ink with colored stroke. So that's definitely a change.
And it's really good. There's a sequence where Leia and Yvonne are arguing with each other. That's a full body shot.
Mm-hmm.
And they both look amazing.
Yeah, that's the one that I was just looking at, where I was talking about, look at the fused fingers on both their hands. And what's also nice is in the hairstyle, if you look in the big full one of Yvonne with her hair, especially over on the right side of her face, and then you look at the panel immediately after, the hair is in the exact same space with the holes, breaks in the hair in the exact same space, as opposed to different hairstyle or a different change in the hair that sometimes happens with artists who are tracing over other pictures.
Well, we call it either using photo reference or landing yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to call him out by name. Gah.
I always do. Her X-Wings are amazing. I do like the fact that I've never seen the design of the shuttle.
No, that one has not ever showed up before, because the first time I saw it, because I was just blowing past that because there was not any dialogue, I blew past it very quickly, and I just saw red and white, and I thought, oh, A-Wing. And then then when you cut to the interiors and they're walking around, I'm like, oh, there's no way that's an A-Wing.
That's not an A-Wing.
And then they talk about that it's a shuttle for many passengers. Then I'm like, oh, well, okay.
Yeah. The X-Wings look really good.
Mm-hmm.
The outer space shot, the cutting to hyperspeed shot is
pretty beautiful. Pretty sweet, yeah.
For a static panel, they managed to really evoke that thing.
Yeah, yeah. There's kind of that explosion that goes all the way around the edge of the panel. Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
This is a solid issue all around.
I really did like it a lot. I guess my biggest concern, and it's kind of the concern that Chris Wilson brought up when he reviewed the first Star Wars book, is that we know what happens, right? Unless they're going to totally rewrite history inside the comic books and pull a Walking Dead comic versus Walking Dead television show, we know that Princess Leia is okay. We know that R2-D2 is okay. So the only one that we have any real concern about or worry about is Yvonne, right? And I mean, the argument can be made with Batman too, but, you know, we have seen Batman die. We have seen Superman die in a build-up to where they were treated as a real death. In Star Wars, though, we know the ending of this story. We know that there's even a new story coming out at the end of the year that will feature at least two of these characters.
I think it seems a little disingenuous to worry about that, because we know that we are dealing with a period of history where bits and pieces of it are known to us.
Right.
But they have explicitly said the movies are canonical. Everything else is brand new.
Right.
So anything could happen in the, what is it, 3 to 4 years between?
Oh yeah, but I don't think we're going to see. I don't think we're going to see Leia die and come back.
Well, I don't think we. Something assuming that the character is going to die, though.
Well, or putting them in some kind of a life-threatening situation, because even if it's like she's got a blaster to her head, she's not going to die, right? The one that we worry about, and this is why I think Mark Waid did a great job in writing this, is he introduces a new character who has not been part of the Star Wars universe, who I instantly like, and there could be something that happens to her.
Or
and so that's where you get in.
She could grow up to be Jar Jar Binks.
Misa don't think so. So, you know, they do introduce that that peril in the character.
Uh-huh.
That I think works really well. But if it was just Leia and R2 on this mission, I don't think people would be as interested in it.
I will respectfully disagree with you on that one. I think when it comes to these type of narratives, that can't be a primary concern, because any Star Wars comic that we have ever read, we know, you know, even in 1978, mm-hmm. when Jackson the Rabbit is around, we know they're making a sequel. We know that Carrie Fisher is in it. We know that they're not going to chop off Princess Leia's head or anything. So yeah, I see the point. I don't mm-hmm. necessarily know that it's
no, and that's fine. I'm just saying that this is something that, yeah, we can get wrapped up in it, just like we can get wrapped up in a Batman story or a Wolverine story or anything like that, because we right. know those characters aren't going to die. We know the character isn't going to die here. And with that in mind, sometimes those life or death situations don't seem as life and deathy as they appear. But, you know, that again, like I said, you've got Yvonne here. Anything could happen to her. So, yeah, I'm concerned. You know, it's something that I want to continue to read this story. And I hope that in this series, in all the Star Wars series that they're doing over at Marvel, that we're not just visiting the same damn three planets.
We are. Naboo.
Tatooine.
And Alderaan.
Yes. No, wait. And Hoth. And Cloud City.
There's other planets in there. There's whatever. Cloud City is on Bespin. Bespin is a planet.
Yes, I know, but we're visiting the same ones over and over again, right?
Yeah.
First place she goes. She doesn't go to some Deccaran 4. She's going to Naboo.
She doesn't go to, you know, the center of the Galactic Empire either. Naboo has narrative significance for Leia, whether she knows it or not.
Yeah.
Pursued by the Empire's sinister agents, Princess Leia races home aboard her starship. Flip-de-dop-de-doo. However that goes. Yeah.
With the plans to the Empire's weapon, the Death Star, in tow.
Stuck up her nose.
Yeah, so I'm giving this a thumbs up. I really enjoyed this comic a lot.
I do too. I think this is very solid work. This is the kind of book that makes me, you know, buy Star Wars comics right there.
I was
going to buy this even if we didn't review it.
Oh yeah, and so was I, because I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed it a lot. This is a $3.99 comic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that we don't see a $4.99. Let me see if there were any $4.99 comics released this week up on Comixology. Looks like everything is still $3.99 as far as the single issues go. Spider-Woman number, is that 5 out this week? $3.99.
I think so. Is that the one with the new suit?
Yes, it is.
Cool.
So yeah, it looks like everything is about $2.99 or $3.99 this week. And like I said, I don't see any $4.99 issues, which is good for now. But, you know, summer's coming. Everybody has that disposable income during the summer.
What better time
to jack up the price?
I never have disposable income.
Well, they're not targeting you. They're targeting 12-year-olds.
I don't think they're targeting 12-year-olds.
What? Why would they not target 12-year-olds when you were talking about comics?
Because 12-year-olds are playing Minecraft and trying to steal Playboys.
I don't think they do anymore. Now who's got a delusional train of thought there?
From the Beat Dalton.
No, you don't steal Playboys from the Beat Dalton. You do it at the Quickie Mart or the Circle K. Do they still have Circle Ks?
The Pump and Pantry. Dude, I don't know.
Is there still Circle K?
I live in Topeka, Kansas. Well, that's the last. There was a Quick Shop or a Dillon's.
Nope, there's still the Circle K chain store founded in El Paso, Texas. Let's see the store locator. Store locator. Let's do a state. Let's see if there's any Circle K's in Kansas. Locate. There used to be one up in Overland Park. Oh, now you have to put in a city or a zip code.
Try 66614.
66614. No stores found. Let's just do Overland Park.
Okay. Overland Park now.
Oh. No stores found in Overland Park.
Oh, well.
Let's just try Kansas City. Kansas City. No stores found. So there apparently are no more Circle K's in the state of Kansas.
Man, that must be depressing to people who care about that.
Yes, same way with the people who don't get their Waffle Houses north of the Mason-Dixon line.
We have a Waffle House off the highway on the way to the airport.
Yeah, that's only recently, though, that those have been moved in.
It's been there for about the last 10 years.
Yeah, recently.
That's not recently.
Yes, it is.
No.
The United States was founded over 200 years ago.
That's a full quarter of our life, and we're old jerks.
10 years ago. 10 years ago is relatively recent. Waffle House.
10 years ago is not recent in terms of Waffle Housery. When it comes to a restaurant,
Waffle Houses were founded in 1955. Founded in 1955 in Avondale Estates, Georgia. I've been there.
No, I know you're
lying. I've actually been to the very first Waffle House.
Waffle Houses were invented by Lurline Blondell Blanston.
No, I've been to
Bossier City, Louisiana.
I've been to the original Waffle House.
In the year 1966. She actually didn't have a house. It was Waffle Hut back then.
I'm trying to see, where's their... Oh, they don't have pictures of the first one on their
website.
There's
one in Olathe, one in Gardner, one in Bonner Springs.
Yeah, they just recently have been in the Kansas City area. All right, ladies and gentlemen, next week from Dark Horse Comics, it looks like a small week for March 11th, 2015, Abe Sapien number 21, Itty Bitty Comics, Grimace Island number 1, and then X-23. Those are the three comics that Dark Horse currently has listed coming out next week.
X-23 is a Marvel comic.
No, different X number 23.
Oh.
You know, that guy with the big X on his face and the one eye poking out. Like
from Comics Greatest World?
Yes. DC Comics has Action Comics number 40. Astro City 21, Astro City Private Lives Hardcover, and Astro City Victory Trade Paperback both come out next week.
Nice.
Batman Victory. Arkham Knight, K-N-I-T, K-N-I-G-H-T, number 1 comes out next week.
K-N-I-T, Knight.
Coffin Hill, number 16, comes out next week.
Hey, Stephen.
Yeah?
What did one coffin say to the other?
Ooh, hey, can I get you a cough drop?
To hold his pants up!
Constantine, number 23, Earth 2 Worlds End, number 23, iZombie, number 1, Special Edition comes out. I wonder if there happens to be an iZombie television series debuting in the next 2 weeks.
The iZombies are the better ones because they only have one button touch interface.
Yes, that one's also a $1 comic that you can pick up. Clarion, the Witch Boy, number 6, I think that is the final issue for that one. Mortal Kombat X, number 4. Multiversity Guidebook, number 1, that's a second printing on that. That's a $7.99 comic. Matthew and I reviewed that several weeks ago. Tiny Titans Return to the Treehouse Trade Paperback, World's Finest number 32. Those are just some of the comics coming out next week from DC Comics. Ooh, there's actually an Arkham Knight Batman statue coming out next week.
Ooh.
And a Brian Boland second edition Batman black and white statue.
Ooh, I like Boland.
Yeah. IDW Publishing, Ragnarok number 4, Star Trek Ongoing number 43. TMNT Annual 2012 Deluxe Limited Edition Hardcover, $125 there.
Ooh.
And Godzilla Cataclysm Trade Paperback, $19.99. Are you going to go to Planet Comic Con this weekend?
Oh,
it's on Saturday.
I really doubt
I was debating whether to go. I don't think I'm going to go.
I'd have to get out of the house. And I'd have to talk to people.
You'd have to put on clothes. You don't have to talk to people. You don't have to talk to people.
I'm old and I'm fat, and if the child hears about it...
They actually have a lot of space to walk around.
Yeah. They're in the new building, right?
They are over at the... what the hell are they? They're at the...
Kemper Arena?
Yeah, at the... Whatever that is. It's not Kemper, but because that's the tournament's going on right now. But it's the thing that's right close by it. It's a pretty
Union
big deal.
Station.
Oh, guess who you can go... guess who you can go meet if you go... It's
Bartle
at Bartle Hall. You can go meet... Carrie, what's his name? Ellis from Princess Bride.
Carrie Elways.
Yeah, Elways. You can go meet Michael Rooker from Guardians of the Galaxy. Her. Hey, Karen Gillan is going to be there.
I love Karen.
Caitlin Blackwood. Stephen Amell is going to be there from Arrow. And Robbie Amell from Flash. You know him as a Firestorm.
I know him as Nepotism.
John,
I'm not saying the boy can't act.
John Barrowman.
Barrowman actually, I think, is out due to
schedule.
Oh, yeah,
that's right. He did cancel. That's right. Aaron Gray is going to be there.
I love Aaron Gray.
Sean Gunn is going to be there. Tom Kane is going to be
Sean
there.
Sean Gunn?
Dun,
the
dun,
Alien
dun,
Orphan?
Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun,
no, listen to it. Sean Gunn. Dun, 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 dun. Sean Gunn. Yeah.
Now I want to go play Spy Hunter.
Oh, my goodness. Laura Vandervoort is going to be there.
Vandersmoot.
Vandervoort is going to be there.
Vandervoort.
Yeah, you know her. You know her as Super. You know her as Supergirl, and also in that TV series Bitten.
I don't know her as Supergirl. I know her as Kara Doria because actually, you're in your. I just melted.
Comic creators Billy Tucci, Bill Almond from Foxtrot is going to be there. Scotty Young. He wasn't there last year.
Yeah.
Jason Aaron, Howard Chaykin, and Stan Sakai is going to be there. Holy crap! I may change my mind and go after all. Freddie Williams II, he's always a staple at the Kansas City event. He's up in the Kansas City area. Katie Cook is going to be there. C.B. Cebulski. Let's see. Andy Price. I thought Cullen Bunn was going to be there. Maybe not. Dean Yeagle, Playboy cartoonist Dean Yeagle, is going to be there. Josh Blaylock from Devil's Due Entertainment. Jordan Michael Johnson, Tim Townsend, Jason Latour, Andy Parks.
He was great in Space Jam.
Phil Hester is going to be there. There's some good names going to be there. And a whole bunch more. That's usually shows up to that event. And they even got a section on cosplay guests. Abby Darkstar, Zen Dragon, Chloe Dykstra.
Zendragon.
Chloe Dykstra, speaking, tying this back into Star Wars, her father, this is her father's name, George John Dykstra, I forget which one. No, not Rick. He actually worked and developed the system that gave us the scrolling credits in the beginning of Star Wars.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. He did a lot of special effects works for Lucasfilm. So there you go. Monica Lee, Aaron Lee, Jessica Marazan, and Stephen K. Smith.
Lee.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one is L-E-E, the other one is L-E-I.
Stan Lee, Jim Lee, Chum Lee.
I could have sworn they got a pretty big list. There's some big names going to be there at Planet Comic-Con. If you are in the Kansas City region. Oh, yeah, Cullen Bunn is going to be there. Now, looking at it. It is worth going. There, it's a huge space, Matthew. A lot of people focus on the last year when we went, a lot of people were focusing on the media guests because they had a huge Star Trek component.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, they had
basically everybody but Jean-Luc Picard.
I believe so, and I don't think what's-her-face, Janeway, was there. I don't think she was there. Maybe she was.
I think it was like the entire next-gen cast plus Shatner.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Shatner was definitely there. Yeah.
People were like, you totally need to go and get me autographs. I'm like, I
got you an autograph of your favorite doctor. Well, not your favorite doctor, but the next one after that.
The one adjacent to my favorite doctor.
Doctor Adjacent.
Dr. Adjacent. That's a good series. Dr. Adjacent. From
The Moy brothers are going to be there. B. Clay Moore will be there. I saw him tweeting about it today.
I like the Moys.
Yeah. They've been doing a lot of gaming stuff lately, although... I wonder if Moy is still doing Powerpuff Girls, Philip LaMoy, if he's doing that over there at IDW.
Are they still doing Powerpuff Girls?
But they were. At least they had the... you know who else is going to be there? He was here last year. Don Rosa is there. And it was so cool because I walked by his booth, and I didn't want to interrupt him, but he was having such a great conversation with a young girl and drawing her, you know, one of the ducks. And just being super, super cool to her. And I thought that was really nice. You know, here's this guy, Eisner Award winner, guy who essentially, I don't know, he didn't create the Uncle Scrooge adventures, but he has been the shepherd of that for, you know, decades.
Yeah. He's done the best Uncle Scrooge since the guy that did create
him. Yeah, that did create him. So that's nice that he's there. He must live in the Kansas City area because he has been at a lot of the Planet Comic Cons.
Well, he may be somewhere in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I know some of the people who go to Planet Comic Con are actually in like St. Louis or areas.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see. Who else? There's a whole bunch of stuff. We should have gone. Next year, we're going to have to go.
Don lives near Louisville, Kentucky.
That's not too far of a drive for him. But next year,
3 hours.
Next year, we're definitely going to have to get a booth set up at Planet Comic Con. We just, I should have talked to Brad and figured out why we weren't doing a presentation this year.
Yeah, Brad.
Yeah,
why
Brad.
Why didn't we do something, Brad?
I don't remember what the
if
theme is.
That
what
is your real name?
What is the big, so last year was Star Trek. They also had one of the Power Rangers. The Green Ranger was there, I think. Or was it the Blue Ranger? One of the Rangers was there.
Jason David Frank was there.
Yeah. And so the main theme was Star Trek, and we ended up doing a Star Wars panel. That was really big. So I don't know what panels they have this year. Looks like they have Red Power Ranger Double Down, two Red Power Rangers on a single stage.
Ooh,
Steve Cardenas. Steve Cardenas.
Rocks.
And Jason Font.
Jason Font?
From Power Ranger Time Force and Power Rangers Wild Force. F-A-U-N-T.
Jason Font.
They also have body painting demonstrations, 18 and only, for that
Wes.
from, oh, just says Power Ranger, Time Force, Power Ranger, Wild Force,
yeah,
Red
Wesley
Ranger.
Wesley Collins, the Red Time Force Ranger.
Star Wars Puppets, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Death Star. Lego Builders, The Basics and Beyond. Steampunk Everything. Official WWE artist Rob Schamberger.
Oh, I like his work.
Oh, so they are doing a lot more Star Wars stuff. That's No Moon, improv comedy. Back to the Future, Adventure in a DeLorean Time Machine. Join professional time travelers Terry and Oliver Holler as they take you back through their incredible journey to find one destiny, then inspire you forward into the future.
Back to the future!
And what else do they have? How to Be a Nerd for a Living. Garrett Wang of Star Trek Voyager.
Oh, Harry Kim.
Yep. What Happened? Movie Riffs. The Phantom Menace. A lot of Star Wars stuff this year. I guess we did that right last year by doing Star Wars in a Star Trek year. We should have done Star Trek in a Star Wars year.
There you go.
Let's see.
1.21 dilithium crystals!
Meet the Star Wars Costuming Group. Dark Horse Comics join Dark Horse editor Patrick Thorpe and a panel of top creators. More details to come. The Art of Wrestling, Jerry the King Lawyer, and Headlocked. Lawler. Yeah.
Lawler, the King.
And Headlocked writer-creator Michael Kingston for a discussion of the two favorite art forms, comic books and professional wrestling. There you go.
Jerry
That's on
Lawler
Saturday.
Is actually a really talented comic artist, if you've ever seen
him. Oh, is he an artist? I didn't know if he was that or writer.
Jerry's amazing.
Because what's his name who did Thor? CM Punk. Yeah. Timey-wimey puppet show.
I actually enjoyed the punk story in Thor.
Was it good? Yeah.
I thought it was well handled.
Timey-wimey puppet show. Straight to the from the popular YouTube video, Timey-wimey puppet show makes a live appearance at Planet Comic-Con. So there you go. Prison Comics presents It's a Queer World.
That sounds interesting.
Lost Girl cast reunion. Three cast members of Lost Girl take the stage to give you the behind-the-scenes secret scoop.
What's a Lost Girl?
I don't know.
Me neither.
Karen Gillan from TARDIS to Guardians and Beyond. Kids Costume Contest. Star Wars Canon Costuming. Broadcast
you have to costume
your podcast.
Canon?
Yes. The Business of Self-Promotion, Marketing Your Art or Small Business Online. Michael Rooker and Sean Gunn, Guardians of the Galaxy, Comic-Con. Magician Corso, The Curious. These are all on Saturday.
Nice.
Conversation with the Dread Pirate Roberts. Kent McCord from Ozzy and Harriet to Farscape. Creating and Managing Comics for the Digital Age. And then Costume Contest. Yeah, a lot of cool stuff coming up at Planet Comic-Con. I remember when this Planet Comic-Con used to be in a I think one year they did it at the the Johnson County Public Library or something at some rec center or something.
Like the rec center in the gymnasium.
Yeah. I remember doing that. Those were no small, but it's grown. I'm glad that it has grown.
It was, yeah, and it's always been something that you're just kind of like, hey,
wait a minute. Planet Comic Con isn't this weekend. It's next weekend.
Oh, man.
13th, 14th, and 15th.
I may
actually go then. If it's 8 days away, March 13th, 14th, and 15th, I may just go to it. I'll have to see what the wife says. She's into that. She likes going. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it's right during a big tournament, so that's going to also... It's the weirdest... It happened last year, too. It's the weirdest mix-mash of stuff going on in the downtown area because you've got all these basketball fans running around, and you've got all these comic geeks and dorks running around, and it's just crazy to see the two trying to interact with one another.
Geeks and dorks and sports.
Did I go over Image Comics? No. Ghosted, number 18. Oddly Normal trade paperback. Sheltered, number 15. Synergy, number 5. Southern Cross, number 1. There's a song in there somewhere. Surface, number 1.
When you see the Southern Cross.
I don't know. I have no idea what that's about. Let's put that down for next week.
I think it's already been called.
All right. What about Surface, number 1? That's the that's an Image Comics book.
Surface.
Number 1.
Surface.
Marvel Comics has All-New X-Men, number 37. Amazing Spider-Man, number 16. Ant-Man, number 3. Captain Marvel number 13. Howard the Duck number 1 is next week.
Howard somebody the Duck number 1.
Has somebody already called that one?
Yeah, somebody did.
Was it you?
Yeah, it was
All
me.
All right, good. We'll do that on a dueling review.
Surface number what? You're going to try and steal my Howard the Duck?
I'm not stealing it. You still get to review it. You just have to review it with me. Star Wars number 3 comes out next week.
Fine.
Superior Iron Man number 6.
That's actually an interesting series.
Well, it's got to be better than the posterior Iron Man number 6.
And the anterior.
Adventure Time, Marceline Gone Adrift. Yeah.
Selling people stuff. He's a jerk.
Oh, like weapons and stuff?
No, like extremists.
Oh, he's selling that tech?
He's selling extremists to the general public as an app download so that you can upgrade your body. And then each month you pay Tony Stark a fee to maintain your extremist upgrades.
So you don't blow up?
I don't know if you don't blow up, but you're not beautiful anymore.
Hmm. That's weird.
Yeah, he's basically forcing people to pay to change themselves. It's interesting.
Interesting. Dead Letters number 8, Escape from New York number 4. Femme Force number 170.
Wow, I remember when 160 came out 8 years ago.
Yeah. So if you're into Katie Cook, Gronk, A Monster's Story graphic novel volume 1 comes out next week, so you can go take that to Planet Comic-Con and get her to sign that.
Yeah.
Hex number 8, Holy F number 3 comes out next week.
There's more to that word.
Holy F number 1 just came out, or number 2 came out this week.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Butcher, The Dresden Files, Downtown number 2. King Flash Gordon number 2. Legendary Vampirilla number 2. Lone Ranger Vindicated number 1. That's one of those variant covers. $50 there.
Yowzit.
Yeah. Mouse Guard, Legends of the Guard, Volume 3, number 1. Ninjak, number 1. That's from Valiant Entertainment. Penguins of Madagascar, number 4. Shaft, number 4, from Dynamite Entertainment. Roy Thomas Presents Rula Jungle Goddess.
Oh, cool.
Sonic Boom, number 5. Stinky Cecil in Operation Pond Rescue.
I'm sorry, what?
Stinky Cecil in Operation Cecil. Pond Rescue.
Hello, my name is Cecil, and I'm quite stinky.
Yes.
Well, you know my name is Cecil, and I stink really, really bad.
Zombie Tramp, ongoing trade paperback, volume 1. Mature readers there. Definitely mature readers there.
Oh,
$14.99 for that trade paperback. I'll give Action Lab Comics this. They have a super diverse titles that they offer. They have stuff like Zombie Tramp, which does have sex and nudity and graphic violence in it. And then they also have some really super kid-friendly titles in their lineup, too. So they're kind of diversified when it comes to their stuff.
Yeah. And Stray, that came out this week, very good book. I went and dug up issue 1.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's very, very retro, but very interesting, good stuff. The art's amazing. And it plays with all those superhero toys that we know. So you come in, if you've read a superhero comic, you kind of have a feel for where it is, but not necessarily understanding exactly where it's going, which I really appreciate.
Yeah. Hey, everyone, if you would like to get involved with Major Spoilers, we would like to hear from you. Just head over to majorspoilers.com. There's a link in this show notes here that tells you how you can get your voice heard at the top of shows like the Major Spoilers podcast, Critical Hit, and a whole lot more. We want to include more and more of you in the show. And if you want even more Major Spoilers goodness beyond the 10 or so podcasts that we produce each week and release each week, 10 or so, sometimes it's 8, sometimes it's 10, just depends on the week. I don't think we've ever done more than 10. I think that's we have done more than 10 because when The Flash is on, Matthew and I do a bonus podcast called Flashback.
It's the audio version of the
Flashback article that appears at Major Spoilers. But that's only available to our Major Spoilers VIP members. VIP members get to go over to members.majorspoilers.com. They get access to additional podcasts, art, behind-the-scenes conversations, even a look ahead of things that are coming for people who are really into what's going on with Modern City, the new arc going on the Critical Hit podcast. I was debuting the art for that 2 weeks before it even came out. I've even got some upcoming art that you get to see if you're a VIP member a couple of weeks ahead of time. So those are just some of the benefits that you get over at members.majorspoilers.com. And our gold VIPs get to join us in a monthly live chat that we do that you can call in and talk with us or chat with us or anything. It's all over at members.majorspoilers.com. And I hope that many of you will sign up to become a VIP member for 2015. A lot of good stuff coming your way.
Nice.
Anything else, Matthew?
Stick around. There's more awesome stuff to come.
More awesome stuff to come, and it's all at majorspoilers.com. Thank you so much. We will talk with you next time.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.